The readings today are taken from Ephesians and the first letter of John. And the first reading is on page 1174. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The next reading is on page 1227. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Joe. Let's also pray for our children's activities this morning, which are going to be in the vestry in a moment, and for Ruth and Zena, who are going to be leading them. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for children and youthful energy and the activities that are planned this morning. We pray that they will have a great time in the vestry while we have a great time in here. Amen. If you're a bit further back, please would you help me out by moving a bit further forward? We are fewer in number because of the storms today. Yes, all of you, those folk, please would you move forward a bit? That would help a lot. It'd be much nicer to have some people here so I feel like I'm speaking to you, and I haven't got my glasses on, so I'll be able to see you that way as well. That's always good. Thank you, Joe, for reading for us. Well, it's great to be together. Thank you for being so kind and moving forward and doing that shocking thing for Church of England churches. Wow. Oh, my goodness. As Simon said at the beginning, my name's Alex. I am the vicar here. If you haven't met me yet, I'd like to meet you afterwards. That would be great. I know most people here, which is good. Today, we begin a new sermon series on spiritual disciplines, all part of helping us to grow up together in the family of God and strengthen our faith and our closeness with him. And in the next few months, we're going to be looking at a variety of topics. We're going to be covering hospitality and worship, prayer, church, the Bible, serving, gratitude and thanksgiving, Sabbath and fasting, and I've tested you because they're in a different order or there to what they are in here as well. Today is an introduction to the sermon series, and we'll be thinking about two key questions. What are spiritual disciplines and why do we bother with them? What are spiritual disciplines and why do we bother with them? Let's pray as we continue. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you give us tools to help us to be close to you. Thank you for this sermon series, which will take us right up until the end of April, apart from the Easter bits. And Lord, we pray that it will be a time where we grow closer to you and to each other, where we learn of you and we grow in deepness in our faith and maturity. Amen. So there were two readings, and we're going to be referring to them a little bit later, but have your Bible somewhere near you because you will need it. So question number one, what are spiritual disciplines? Well, I wonder if any of you here have ever trained for a sporting event or for a musical exam or to sing or to play in a concert. I'd like you in a moment to chat to somebody next to you, either from experience or if you haven't done any of those things, from common sense. What kinds of activities would be involved in training for a sporting event or for a music exam or for playing in a concert? What kinds of things would you need to do to get ready? Have a chat to somebody near you. I'll be asking for some comments in a moment. So, in order to prepare for a major musical event or a major sporting event or a smaller one, what kinds of things do we need to do? Let's start over here. Thank you.
You've got to practice.
You've got to practice. Thank you, Piers, my friend Piers. Anybody else got something to add in? You've got to practice.
You've got to do some stretching or warm-ups.
You've got to do some stretching. Can we have this on, please, if it isn't? Thank you. Some stretching and some warm-ups. Fantastic. Anybody over here? You do lots of practicing and training for things.
It's basically just warming up and practicing.
Warming up and practicing. Is this as much depth as we're going to get? Alison? I'll come back. Hold on. No. Alison?
Prepare mentally.
Thank you. Very important. And then, I'm not sure this is actually doing anything, but we'll go for it.
Well, I just think you need to be strict with yourself about doing things to help you.
To focus.
So keep strict, keep to a plan, practice, get your mental energy up here. One more, Simon P.
Yeah. Diet and sleep.
Diet and sleep. Well, for the exercise, not for the musicality so much. Well, do you need to? You do.
If you're a singer, you need.
You do. Now I learned something. Thank you. That's very helpful. So, diet and sleep is important for so many things. I'm having a slightly guilty moment now. So to take part in concerts or sporting events, we have to practice and to train. We've highlighted some of the things that might be involved. Some of you know that George Druitt and I have decided we're going to try and run the London Marathon, and we have a programme, and it's really interesting. There's lots of running involved, but there's lots of other things they make you do as well. They make you do exercises on your kind of weights, and then they want you to do other things that aren't running, because apparently it creates too much pressure on your legs if you do only running. So there's all sorts of things that you have to do. To take part in a sporting event of any kind or a concert, we need to train. And actually, in order to keep our physical selves and our bodies generally fit, we need to take regular exercise. And the reason I've spent time on that is because it illustrates for us well. Just as it is with our physical selves, our bodies, it is with our spiritual selves also. It takes regular exercise in our spiritual lives to keep us fit spiritually. In the book of Hebrews, the Christian life is likened to running a race. In order to run the race well, a bit like physical exercises, there are spiritual exercises we can do to help us to be fitter spiritually and to run the spiritual race with greater ease and strength, and ultimately to make the whole destination. So spiritual disciplines are practices which are found in Scripture which promote spiritual growth. They are a mixture of personal and interpersonal, some that we practice by ourselves, some which we join together to do corporately and practice corporately. And the goal with every one of them is to spend time being with God and learning to become more like Jesus. chap called Richard Foster, who wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline, says, "The purpose of the spiritual disciplines is the total transformation of a person. Spiritual disciplines are biblical activities which date back to Jesus' time and which people have engaged in for thousands of years that have trained and opened them up to a deep and authentic walk with God. There are habits of devotion. They involve us sitting at the feet of God adoringly." So we've asked the question, what are spiritual disciplines? My second key question was, so why do we bother with them? And I have started to answer this, but I'm going to ask another question to help us to think about this a bit further. And it's not a sharing question this time. This is just for us to think to ourselves. I shocked the 8 o'clock service at St Paul's when I came out with this. prepare yourselves. So it's not as shocking as it sounds after a moment. So the question is, how is your love life? My goodness me. And I'm glad there was a bit of giggling, because 8 o'clock in the morning was a bit too early for us all. You might be thinking, now, what's the vicar doing? Has she gone a little bit mad? Or you might be thinking, gosh, that's a little bit too personal. Alex, why are you asking this? Well, I'll explain where I got here, and I hope we'll come out the other end okay. So we've had a number of weddings recently. We've had some vow renewals. We've had some weddings. We've got some more wedding vow renewals and things coming up. So to be fair, I have been thinking a lot about those and preparing for those. And I've been looking at the wedding liturgy. And as far as I can tell, by the way, all those movies, those romantic movies, they've got some of it wrong. Because the people in the movies always seem to say, "I do," to each other, don't they? They do. But in the Church of England wedding liturgy, when asked by the minister to take their vows in the presence of God and the company of all people, the bride and the bridegroom, in answer to the question of will they take each other to be husband or wife, they respond, "I will. I will love, comfort, honour, protect, forsake all others, and be faithful to my spouse for as long as we both shall live." Now, a marriage describes a very precious relationship between two people, which is beautiful and wonderful and which we celebrate gladly. But we, who are Christians, are children of God. And we have the privilege of a loving relationship with God that is even more precious than marriage. Because God comes before everything and everyone. Even our marriages, even our friends and families, even our children. God comes before everything. Why do we bother with spiritual disciplines? Because they help us to keep madly in love with God. The question isn't, do we love God? It's, will we love God? Will we keep on loving God for all our days? Will we commit our lives and arrange our days to include spiritual practices which help us to love God more? By engaging in these spiritual disciplines, we put ourselves in a position where we get to know God more, where we feel God's love for us more, and where we fall in love with him over and over and over again. And in that space where we are filled with the Holy Spirit, feeling God's love, we are transformed by him. And we gradually become, hopefully, more like his son, Jesus. So why are we doing this sermon series? Why do we bother with spiritual disciplines? It's because they help us to fall even more madly in love with the Lord our God. And I chose these two Bible readings today because they give a hint of who God is. If you would like to reopen your Bibles for me, if you turn again firstly to the Ephesians passage, it's page 1175. Page 1175. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So who is this God who we're falling in love with? The Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He has glorious riches which can strengthen us. His Spirit dwells in our inner being so that Jesus can dwell in our hearts through faith. And Paul prays that the Ephesians, like us, will grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Jesus and the love of the Father. It is a love that surpasses knowledge. It is a love that surpasses everything. And this God, our Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than anything we ask or imagine, is at work within us. The spiritual disciplines help us to fall more madly in love with God. And that passage helps us get a tiny, tiny glimpse of who that God is. If you turn with me to page 1227, please, to the 1 John passage, 1227. Page 1227. Now, Paul, who wrote the Ephesians passage we've just been looking at, he was passionate about Jesus and his faith. And this passage in the 1 John book was written by John, one of the disciples who spent time with Jesus when Jesus walked the earth. He knew Jesus, the Son of God, and therefore God himself from first-hand experience. He would have known the sound of Jesus' voice. I would love to have known the sound of Jesus' voice. He would have known what he looked like, what his face was like, what his hair was like. He would have been there when Jesus was crucified. He would have been there when Jesus was resurrected as well. And John tells us this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then later in verse 13, it says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And then later in verse 16, it says, God is love. God is love. I'm repeating myself deliberately. We bother with the spiritual disciplines because they help us to fall madly in love with the God who loves us first. And just a little word before we continue. For any of us who feel like we are or might be disqualified from God's love in some way or feel that we are inadequate, no one is ever disqualified from God's love. Some of us worry about things we've done. Some of us worry about things we might get wrong in the future. No one is ever disqualified from God's love. And if any of us feel inadequate, we'll join the club. Because we are all totally inadequate of his love. That's why we need Jesus. But God completely and totally loves us anyway. A writer called Augustine, who was in the early church after the disciples, after Jesus had died and rose again and gone to heaven, he said that God loves each of us so much that he loves us as if there is only one of us in the whole world, one person in the whole world, but God loves us that much, each one of us. And then let's think about some of the characters in the Bible, to name just a few. It's so encouraging to look at characters in the Bible because they were so like us in the things that they did and the things that they got wrong. So he's usually noticed as being the one who messed up the entire of creation along with Eve. But guess what? Jesus came from the bloodline of Adam. What about Moses? Moses was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian soldier and then ran. And yet God chose Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. What about David, the man after God's own heart? He was an adulterer and a murderer, but he was still described as a man after God's own heart, after all that, because he loved the Lord so much. And finally, Paul, who wrote our Ephesians reading from today. Well, in his days before Christ, he was Saul, a man who persecuted Christians so horrifically that when Jesus did save him, people were still afraid of him because of his bad reputation. And yet he was used by God to write large parts of the New Testament. For us and for every Bible character, there are things that are not ideal. But God could not love us, any of us, more than he does. He longs for us to grow in our love of him too. He longs to redeem us from our past and make us new if that's what we need. He couldn't love any of us more than he does. So how are we going to approach this sermon series to make the most of it and get the most out of it that we possibly can to help us to get as close to God as we can? May I suggest that a good way to begin is to make a bit of an audit of where we're at with God and where we're at with practicing those spiritual disciplines. And I'm going to write something for the newsletter for next week to help us to do that a little bit more so you have something at home as well. The ones we're thinking about, I've said already, they're hospitality, worship, prayer, church, the Bible, serving, gratitude and thanksgiving, Sabbath and fasting. Now, I wonder, I'm not going to ask anybody to share this, but you'll be looking at those and you might be thinking, oh yes, some of those are a lot easier for me than others. Or I feel I have strengths in some of those and not others. It doesn't matter. Our strengths are our strengths and we can grow those. And our weaknesses are our weaknesses and we can make those even better. We can grow either way. But it's just good to think about it. It's good to ask of God as well, where would he like us to develop in the ways we spend time with him and the ways we live for him? And then I'd like us also to consider, and it's not to make us feel condemned at all, but I think it's a good exercise. What choices have we made in the last few days or week about our priorities, how we spend our time and what we choose to give our attention to? Which of those choices have cultivated spiritual growth? Which of those choices have distracted us from our life in the Spirit? They're good things for us to reflect on. And it's an opportunity for all of us, this sermon series, to help ourselves align even more with the Lord our God. So I'm really excited about what he's going to do with us. I'm really excited for every individual, including myself, because I always seem to learn more than anybody else. I probably need it. I'm really excited about how it will grow us even more as our church family, as families of St. Mary's and St. Paul's. So why do we bother with spiritual disciplines? Because they help us fall more and more and more and more in love with the Lord our God, who could not love any of us more than he does already. Our God who wishes to pour out his glorious riches on us. Our God who strengthens us with the power of his Spirit in our inner being. Our God who is love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us, and we love you too. As we enter into this sermon series on the spiritual disciplines, we pray that each one of us may grasp a little bit more how wide and long and high and deep is the love that you have for us. And we pray that each of us may grow a little more like Jesus each day. In his precious name we pray. Amen.